This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Come get up. Beware,
IGN GameScoop. It's unbelievably bad, but the girl with the earmuffs is Princess Leia's daughter.
Oh, wow.
Huh. Is that messed up?
Scoop!
Scoops. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Vince Ingenito.
Scoop!
Vincent.
Sam Claiborne.
What's up, everybody?
We've got a great show for you this week. I don't know if you guys are aware, but 2015 is drawing to a close.
No.
What?
We're about to put 2015 to bed.
I think it's 2014, Damon.
No.
It's time for it to go nigh-nigh.
Yeah.
As I say in my house.
We got Christmas coming up and then New Year's, and then it's going to be 2016.
Do you guys find that there's two things that happen to me when I turn 30. I'm 30.
Mm-hmm.
Random parts of my body hurt. My knee hurts now for no reason. Did I do anything to it? Nope. It just hurts. The other thing is, I can never remember what year it is.
No, I'm totally with you in the same boat. Like, I tried to play basketball for the first... I used to love basketball in high school. I tried to play for the first time in, like, a decade.
Yeah, that was a big
weeks ago.
Yeah.
Huge mistake, because, like, my knees... From like, 3 weeks ago, my knees have literally not recovered.
You gotta build up to it.
No, I didn't. I just went right for it, and, like, yeah, my knees are, like, I think permanently, like, never gonna get back to the point they were at 3 weeks ago.
I feel like I just got used to calling it 2015, and now they're taking it away from me.
Yep.
Oh, where does the time go?
It is the most wonderful time of the year, the time when we get to look back on everything and make best of lists and recap the year that was.
So. Yeah. By the time, is this going up tomorrow?
Yes.
So shortly after this episode goes up, you'll be able to see IGN's official Best of 2014 nominations for all the video games and movies and comics, TV shows.
So let's set the stage for that. I have recapped the entire year in video game happenings for you guys. I'm going to remind you and our listeners and viewers of everything that happened this year.
All those nominees are going up the Monday the 14th. So check that out.
Okay.
Feel like I threw you off your groove.
No, it's okay. Yeah.
And then I can finally sleep again.
How Damien got his groove back.
So at the beginning of this year was
E3. Yeah.
Right?
Do you guys know what the most popular piece of content on IGN was this year?
Probably the same thing that's been close to up there for the last several years, which is top 25 Game Boy Advance games?
That is near the top.
That's a good guess.
That is near the top.
Either PSP games, maybe. No, I would probably say the Fallout 4 review.
Or maybe the Skyrim. Is the Skyrim wiki still lighting it up?
No, he's not including wiki pages.
Oh, we're not. Okay.
Otherwise,
okay.
It's many different wiki pages.
Okay, yeah.
The most popular piece
is
of content on IGN this year was the Metal Gear Solid 5 review.
I did it.
However, at the time of this taping, the Fallout 4 review is only 40K behind. I think as people get that for Christmas or they get consoles for Christmas.
So if you're out there listening, just go check out that review and you'll push it over.
Vince, you can go ahead and give yourself a raise.
Nice.
That's how that works. We're like Congress.
Yeah, sure. That's fine.
Anyone want to wager a guess as to what was the most read news article of 2015.
Was the Black Burger this year?
No, that was last year.
Was it? News article. Yeah.
It's gonna be bad news. It always is, like PSN going down last year.
You're right. It is so bad. Bad is in quotation marks.
It's gonna be bad news. It's gonna be that's as far as I can narrow it down.
No, that's not this year.
I'll tell you. It's probably involves console wars or like flame bait.
That's
of
what
some
I was
kind.
Thinking, but I think what I was thinking of was
the headline is away would be. The headline is this Mortal Kombat character won't be coming to MKX.
Yeah. Oh wow, really?
Wow, that headline, huh?
It was Jade.
Yeah, it was Jade. Yeah.
What? But like, isn't that interesting that that is the most read news article of the year?
I wrote that. Did I write that?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was me.
Mortal Kombat was a big part of our early year.
Mortal Kombat was a gigantic traffic driver this year. I almost couldn't believe, like, you know, I knew Mortal Kombat was big, but just like every single thing we put up, people gobbled up every video.
And it's
every
still
article.
The only game people are talking about.
Yeah, it's like, it was a big...
Just kidding, we all forgot about it for some reason.
Well, they got that new DLC coming.
We don't play fighting games.
Well, maybe y'all don't.
I do.
But the thing that was funny to
but
me is like
about Mortal Kombat anymore.
Right? No, I don't. But I, even back then, when Mortal Kombat was the thing, I was constantly surprised. I was like, I'm not used to people always calling my number and be like, Vince, you got another thing? You got to write. You got to Vince, yeah. Come on, you got to keep doing it. I'm not used to that with the fighting game stuff. It's usually like, Vince, we know you love it, but calm down. Yeah. It was like the other way around with Mortal Kombat.
Let's dial it back. Let's go back to the beginning of the year. January, what was the first big game of the year?
Bloodborne.
Evolve.
Was that February?
That was February.
Evolve. Yeah.
The Order.
It was Dying Light. January 27th.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like that game.
Well, but I think a lot of fans, a lot of gamers out there really like that game.
Yeah, and we reviewed it very favorably.
Yeah.
You got an eight something?
Yeah. Eights in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Evolve was in February 10th.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Evolve came out.
Mm-hmm. That's my birthday.
Are people still playing Evolve?
There's a new monster. I'm actually still playing Evolve. I loved that game. I reviewed it. It fell off quick. It was kind of like the Titanfall of 2015, which pains me to say because I love that game with my entire heart.
Two great games that people did not stick with.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're still creating new content for it. They're in the middle of like season two of the Hunter's Pass, which is like a new monster and four new hunters, one
but
in each class.
But there's enough people that you can matchmake, right?
Yeah, you can still go on matchmaking. Like if you're just doing your ranking matches, like your placement matches, it's a little bit slow at first because there's not a lot of people still doing those. But once you get through those, you can still pretty easily get a match.
That's interesting. They probably need to patch those out and just throw them into the matchmaking pool.
They just patched them in is the funny thing about that.
I wonder, did I ever tell you I played Evolve for, like, most of America. I played Evolve for two or three evenings, and that's it. And I played with a dad and a little boy, maybe a little girl, but sounded like a little boy. He couldn't have been more than, like, 8 or 9 years old. And they're on my team, so I'm hearing their voice chat. And who's the character? We were the hunters hunting the monster. Who's the character that can place, like, a dome, like a net? That traps him that he can't leave.
So all the trappers can... That's the generic ability for all the trappers.
And what's the name of that, like, ability?
It's called the dome. It's called the dome, yeah.
And he's like, okay, Daddy, I placed the dome. Yeah. I placed it. Let's get him. Don't let him get out of the dome. And it was this really cute little boy. And he's like, good job, son. Good job. We're all inside. Now we're going to get this monster. And, like, I had my mic on, too, but I felt like I couldn't. I couldn't. And, like, then they're like, I guess, I don't know if I had it too close to my mouth, but he's like, we got another loud breather.
We got a loud breather.
Yeah. We got a breather in our group. And then I just unplugged my headset because I'm like, I can't. It was like really, really heartwarming, but also like really awkward.
Creepy. Yeah.
And I'm like, I felt uncomfortable. I was like drinking beers. I'm just like,
you're
in
like
my
listening
room.
To his dad. And his
yeah.
Son talk.
He's like, great job. You got him.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
On February 20th, the big PlayStation exclusive was released.
I already mentioned it.
The Order.
Mm-hmm.
The Order.
1886. Did not. I don't think it was the game a lot of people were hoping it would be.
It's a very pretty game.
A lot of style.
Game. Yeah. March 11th.
I think that game's been like basically free on PlayStation PS Plus for a couple weeks now.
Oh, really?
I never
played it. It was really cheap last month.
Yeah. Okay.
March 11th, Ori and the Blind Forest.
Excellent game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really very hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Hard platformer.
I think people thought that was going to be just a pretty game, and it was actually like a legitimately challenging one.
And also very sad.
Yes.
The opening.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was like up. I'm tearing up in the first two minutes.
I got blindsided for sure.
Still an Xbox One console exclusive?
Yes, right? Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
It's on Windows
also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On March 17th, Nintendo soft announced the NX. They basically, at an investor's
conference, what a crazy week that was.
Announced that they were working on the successor to the Wii U, codenamed the NX, and they also announced their partnership with DNA to make mobile games.
Yeah.
You didn't skip Bloodborne, did you, or did it come out later than I thought?
The week after.
Ooh.
Bloodborne comes out for PS4.
Man, I thought that was really
early. March 24th.
I thought that was earlier in the year.
What about, not to take away from Bloodborne, but another Sony exclusive that I really care about that was a big game to me that was early in the year was Helldivers, but I'm not sure if we missed that or if they just didn't put it on.
It
wasn't a AAA game, but it was certainly an excellent game and still one of the still the best co-op game of the year in my opinion.
That launched on Vita first?
No, that was PS4, PS3, and Vita all at once.
Okay, all at once.
Yep.
And then on April 14th, like we were discussing, Mortal Kombat X came out. Got an 8.8 from IGN, sold over 1 million copies. Eventually, Predator and Carl Weathers were released as playable characters, and then they just announced Leatherface and
the Xenomorph.
The Xenomorph from Alien are coming to the game.
Yeah, I mean, we Mortal Kombat, we actually ran a big feature, you can find it on IGN, about how NetherRealm sort of nursed that franchise back to health. We've seen other long-running video game franchises, but I think it's incredibly unusual. Like, Mortal Kombat was down in the dumps, and, like, I genuinely believe that with one more bad game and one more misstep, like, it would have just been over. It'd be one of those things that we just don't, that it's just gone. Mortal Kombat doesn't exist anymore, but the DC stuff seemed so crazy and outlandish and wild, but, like, they did that just step by step, like, they laid the bricks and just nursed that franchise back to life. It's great. It's awesome. I mean... It's well respected in the community. It's got much stronger fundamentals than Mortal Kombat ever had.
Absolutely. It's the first Mortal Kombat that I played since 3 that I was like, yeah, this is an actually, good fighting game that's worth my time.
Like, as someone that really cares about the mechanics of fighting games more so, like, it's always been fun and like a flashy, just beat up on your friends way, but in terms of actual, like, competitive scene fighting, like, MK is up there.
And
now,
for Damon and I, we only care about babalities and friendships, so I was really disappointed with this one.
But it does, like, it covers off on both now. Like, you don't, like, the one doesn't need to exist at the expense of the other. Like, you can have those solid mechanics and still have, you know, silly fatalities and flashy stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive, as they say.
On April 27th, Silent Hills was officially canceled.
Bum, 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 bum.
And I misunderstood which day the demo was going to go off of PSN.
Oh, so you missed it?
Got home, and I was like, I'm like, okay, this is the last day for me to download it. I'm going to get it. And then I logged onto the PSN, and I was like,
We have a limited number of PS4s that have PT on it here in the office, and one of those PS4s died. So it's like one fewer copy of PT, PT out there in the wild.
Oh, yeah, geez. We have to track those consoles. It's funny whenever we need them.
It has been a rough year for Konami. That's just like the first...
Well, Metal Gear was amazing.
Metal Gear was amazing. I'm just talking about in terms of like bad PR for Konami.
Sure.
With that.
Yeah.
On May 1st, the Yooka-Laylee Kickstarter was funded in 40 minutes. This is the spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie. Expected out next year.
Yeah, that was great because all those Rare people have been working on non-Rare like projects since basically Banjo-Kazooie. You know, they did all the Avatars and the Xbox thing and everything, but these guys were like, let's just make a Rare game even though we're not a Rare anymore. Yeah. And they got so many people together to do it. It's like a little dream team of Rare developers. People funded it immediately because that's such a cool thing. I think there's a void right now for that 3D cartoon platformer that is actually nostalgic now and doesn't really have a place in contemporary like the marketing of games. Like it'd be hard to market Yooka-Laylee unless you like the crowdfunding was such a good way to do it.
I mean, it's just wonderful. So like I don't feel like Nintendo needs to have ownership of the 3D mascot platformer. I've been saying it on GameScoop all year long. Everything old is new again and nothing goes away forever. If you like 2D, you know, platformers and action games, they're back and alive, turn-based RPGs, real-time RPGs. You know, open world, linear, and now 3D platformers is sort of the next thing to have, hopefully, a little bit of a renaissance. We've seen a couple others besides Yooka-Laylee. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's awesome. I'm skeptical that game's going to be on time. I hope it is. But
there isn't a release date, but they said 2016. So.
Yeah, I mean, it strikes me as one of those projects that, you have at least the stretch goals, right?
Yeah.
And it's like all that money doesn't necessarily help you make a giant game faster. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean,
Rareware related Kickstarter that happened also this year was I Am 8-Bit released the Banjo-Kazooie, Battletoads, and Perfect Dark soundtracks on vinyl. And the Banjo-Kazooie double LP set is just my favorite thing.
That piece
I love
of art
it.
Is insane.
It's this ultra-real drawing of a bear and a bird with like no text on it for the cover.
Really
and cool. It looks so funny. It's such a great, great album set. And then I put it on, and my wife made me take it off immediately.
Like, that's enough of that.
It does sound like terrible circus music out of context today. Luckily, there's no birds squawking.
I did in Rare Replay. I 100% at Banjo Kazooie. I got all the notes, all the jiggies, all the honeycombs.
It's a really good game.
Yeah. I couldn't find some jiggies in the haunted house level when I replayed it.
I'll help you out with
And I used our guide and like all this stuff, and I couldn't find
them. Probably
those those wine barrels, and I know there's.
Yeah, I bet I know which ones you're missing. It's tough. It depends on whether you're missing a bunch of three or four.
Mm-hmm. What was released on May 19th?
No one knows.
The Witcher?
Vince should know. Witcher 3.
That's right, yeah.
The Witcher 3 is released.
You had a busy year.
I had a very busy year.
You got to review a bunch of really good games this year.
Oh, it seems like a wonderful year for me in terms of that. But also, it seems like ever since, like it started with Destiny the year before, and then it just was like an endless stream of really physically large games.
Because Dragon Age had happened.
Right, Destiny, then Dragon Age, and then you know this year with The Witcher and with Metal Gear. It's been a procession of just like of those. And Witcher, I love The Witcher 3. Mm-hmm. I in a weird way, I feel like I haven't really played or experienced it the way I want to because I had to, I think I came in after like a week not being in the office.
Yeah.
And everyone was asking me, did you beat it? And like, how much did you play it?
Like, no.
And I was like, 100, I put in like 110 hours in like a week.
Are you cool? And I remember saying, you're like, how many hours in are you? And you're like 80. And I'm like, are you close to the end? And you're like, I don't know.
No, I was like, I wasn't sure. I legitimately wasn't sure.
Because that game is kind of like the Upside Down Castle and Symphony of the Night, or like after you beat the first three dungeons in Ocarina of Time. It has this wonderful thing, if you don't expect it, where you've been expanding this giant map for a long time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden people are like, hey, you want to take a boat to this other place? You're like, oh, I guess it'll just be a little one-off dungeon. And it's a map just as big as that map.
Massive.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's incredible. There's like a second half of the game that you don't expect.
It's a little
bit. I love that in games.
Yeah.
It's like Okami, actually. It's a game that's like, it's like a trilogy in one game.
Okami just keeps going and going.
Yeah. Which is really, really good. I'm glad I gave that game a second chance. When I played it, it just didn't click with me. I can't make any excuses.
That was my experience, and I keep meaning to go back to it.
Also. Yeah, I wasn't sure why. I'm still not exactly sure why. It just didn't. It just didn't grab me, and I put it down, and then I picked it back up this fall and loved it.
You played Okami again?
No, not Witcher.
Oh.
I actually genuinely think it's the tiniest change, but I think it's the text size increase.
That bothered me at the...
Sure.
At its launch.
And like, I know that feels like a stupid reason to not like a game, but it made it really hard for me to go through the menus. I had to sit closer to my television than I wanted. And I think the fact that they fixed that actually just made the game click.
Yeah, I only played after they did the updates. I think that game is so wonderful and such excellent. It's such a cool aesthetic game because you back out and you just kind of stop every once in a while. You look around the panorama. As soon as you freeze, it looks like it's painted. It's a really nice, like, oil-painted kind of blurriness that's just wonderful. And I just love the feeling that is just like the original Legend of Zelda. You can just go off the path and walk until something kills you.
Yeah, and
there's so few games that are like that.
They don't let you do that anymore. And, like, to your point about Fallout's the way like it looks, sure, right. But, like, to your point about the way it looks, what's amazing about The Witcher 3 to me is that what you just described is both a technical achievement, but it's also an art achievement, like, you know, so there's the artistic end of it, like, you know, the color palette and the kind of the environmental art that they use for different things. Yeah, it does. But then what's really amazing is like the tech that made it possible for them to like even generate like landscapes that look like landscapes and like all the foliage and the way it all reacts to the dynamic weather.
Such good forests.
Like, yeah, amazing.
Forests never look like
probably
forests.
Probably the best
like
forests in games.
Yeah. You have to like kind of like it's a little bit tight in forests.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Your top 10 list. Best forests in games.
Anyway, it's my game of the year if there aren't two other games tying for it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is probably my front runner right now, but I'm going to use the holiday break to make sure that that's the case.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Also in May, a surprise hit was released for the Wii U, Splatoon.
Mm-hmm. Ah!
Yeah, I mean, another game that, not another game, because we haven't talked about any others yet, but we're seeing a trend in video games where things sort of launch in a so-so state, and then when the developer really is able to double down on it or really believes in it, they do double down on it and stick with it, and Splatoon is a game like that. Like, Nintendo, of all companies, has stuck with it, kept updating it, and I guess Splatoon, I don't have much first-hand experience with it, but it is in a really fun, compelling place now that it wasn't when it came out.
Yeah, and with a lot more content.
Not that it was terrible, but I mean, it's better, you know? It's improved in significant ways.
I could never get past the art style. I don't like the design of the game.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
It's fun. Every time I play it, I have fun. And also, I don't really like playing with other people online. But when I play it, it's okay. But I don't like the Squid Girl and Squid Boy. I just don't like that universe.
Yeah, I don't like their design aesthetically. It's a small thing, but I actually don't like that they're just a boy and girl. Like, Nintendo is known for their iconic, incredible characters. And I'm not saying it has to be Mario and Donkey Kong in this game, but if you're going to make somebody new, like, make them interesting character designs. Yeah. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, the character designs in Animal Crossing are really interesting. Like, they could have done something more aesthetically pleasing there, for sure.
Yeah,
super plain. But
the people that like that game, good for you. Because, like, I know people that had the best year with Splatoon. Mm-hmm. That makes me really happy that Nintendo had a game like that out this year.
Well, I heard an interesting point about Splatoon where, like, the mechanics of shooters have, like, just basically taken over everything in video games.
Yeah.
Like, everything has those shooter mechanics. But what if you're a kid? Like, how do you get that fix? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't really have a lot of options.
From my experience, you play Call of Duty.
For sure. Like, what if you're a kid that doesn't have, like, terrible parents?
Right.
Like, that's like a super real, like, there aren't, we're going to talk about another game later in the year that does this too, but there's not a lot of E10 or T-rated games that have strong, solid shooter mechanics. So Splatoon is definitely filling a very important slot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you think about it, like, over the course of history, there hasn't been a lot of games that do that. Like, the first one that comes to my mind is, do you guys remember Fur Fighters on Dreamcast? Like, that's not like the last time I can remember, like, that's a deep cut,
that's
right?
That's a deep cut, yeah.
That's the last time I can remember, like,
you ruined today's 20 questions game.
Oh, no! Yeah, so you're right, like if you're a young person. I would have,
You like that one a lot?
Resident, the little billboard of Resident Weevil in the background of the game store
A-plus humor.
Oh, boy.
It's really good.
No, but yeah, you're right, like, people just, there's not a lot of that for people of that age group.
On June 1st, XCOM 2 was announced. On IGN, actually.
Dan Stapleton went,
all day long. That's all the only sounds he made.
As a PC exclusive this time.
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, I wonder if their reasoning is, it's like the normal platitudes about, like, we really just wanted to focus on the PC and it's such a strong platform.
Right. As if it's not going to come to consoles later.
Well, but it makes me wonder, like, did the console versions just not sell? Like, I played it on PC.
But they also focused on making it very moddable.
And that's true.
I think, like, a big part of their sale on this, selling to people on this, is like, we're going to make this a game that you guys can just mess with.
Yeah.
And I think that will open up XCOM to really cool stuff.
Is more than lip service.
Get Lord of the Rings XCOM.
Oh, wow, that'd be sick. Yeah. But, I mean, like, I personally, I don't know, I don't have the sales numbers in front of me, but, I mean, you know, there's no major material difference between the console and PC versions of XCOM Enemy Within.
Dan will be disappointed with you.
No, I mean, like, visually, sure, you know, like, but I mean, like, there's no, they didn't make concessions to put those games on consoles.
No, the iPad or iOS port of XCOM is really good. The only thing they did was there's fewer random apps. Otherwise, it's the exact same full game.
I'm going to see Dan at home just spit-taking now. Dan Stapleton, our reviews editor, a big VC gamer, is on his paternity leave. Congratulations,
even
Dan.
Even though XCOM... He went back on paternity leave.
Oh, and back on.
I didn't realize
But, that. You know, my whole thing is I love, like, XCOM with, like, every fiber of my being, and because of that, I want absolutely everyone to be able to play it. Hopefully it comes to consoles.
That was originally planned to come out this year and then was later delayed into 2016.
Yep.
That mod support.
That was
a
theme this year.
XCOM 2 is designed from the ground up to be very moddable, like you said, and XCOM 1 wasn't to the same degree, but like most PC games, you know, people are still modding it, and it's given that game such longer legs. Like, I think Dan said he played another 100 hours of XCOM, the original XCOM, when they released it. What's it called? The Long War? Is that sort of the famous mod for that game, like the overhaul? So that's incredible, right? Like, it's great.
On June 15th, E3 kicked off. It yielded a bevy of scoops for us to discuss the entire year. That's where Microsoft announced Xbox One backward compatibility. That's where Fallout 4 was revealed at Bethesda's first E3 press conference.
It may seem strange that Damon just brought up that Xbox backward compatibility, but that was the most popular story from E3.
Yep. That was one of our biggest stories of the year.
Isn't that weird?
Dishonored 2 was revealed.
I'm happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Dishonored 2.
That was a great trailer.
The Final Fantasy VII remake was announced. Everybody lost their minds.
That exploded our war room.
Yep. Then we just learned, actually, last week, and that it's episodic. Interesting. At E3, Nintendo announced Metroid Federation Force.
I do.
I
remember that.
I played that a lot and wrote about it at E3. Yeah. And
As a big Metroid Prime fan.
I don't even know where to go with this. As a big Metroid Prime fan, I'm very disappointed, but always excited to see how Nintendo will change my mind about it.
That should have been a new... It's not a bad game. That's what worries me. Like, it's totally fun, but it just shouldn't be Metroid. It should be its own thing.
Yeah. Gears of War 4 gameplay was revealed at E3.
I feel like people are sleeping on Gears of War.
Yeah, people aren't really talking about it. The first Mass Effect Andromeda teaser was revealed.
Right.
I'm so pumped for that game. Can we stop on Mass Effect Andromeda for a minute?
Of course.
The thing that excites me so much about Andromeda is, and again, I hope they're not just paying it lip service. I hope it's really true. The emphasis on exploration and
being
in the wilds, like that frontier.
That's
sort
the promise of the original Mass Effect.
Of the original Mass Effect.
Where they showed this map, and it was seamlessly pulling in from a galaxy to a planet, and then like that's the exploration I want. Like, no game's done that.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do it. Like, how are they going to have sort of the same the powers and races and like Krogan? Or is it going to be all new stuff? Like, what if you don't have Krogan and Asari and all the rest of it, what makes Mass Effect Mass Effect? Like, I definitely have some questions about that. If they're in a new galaxy exploring a whole new sort of universe, essentially. But, I mean, I believe in those developers and that emphasis on frontier exploration and, like, taking a Wild West game but putting it in space is just sounds absolutely perfect, the exact direction that I want that franchise to go.
I'm so excited.
Ubisoft announced two new games at E3, For Honor and Ghost Recon Wildlands.
For Honor was really fun.
Yeah.
Surprisingly fun, and Wildlands looked like a cross between Ghost Recon and Far Cry, which is like wild and interesting. I don't know if it's good or not, but
I like both those games. So
yeah, sounds I applaud them. So here's why it's interesting: is I've never been a Ghost Recon guy, but this one, like, I am a Far Cry guy, so it's like, well, maybe I'll be more interested in this one.
Yeah, and I think it also falls in line with like what I think is kind of the theme of 2015, which is like we're getting to a point where open world kind of emergent gameplay is no longer something that's its own subgenre. It's just an element. It's just like a fourth dimension almost for like that many different genres and many different franchises are just starting to push out into kind of organically.
Yeah,
you gotta
like
climb those radio towers and reveal more of the map.
Right. Yep.
That's Ubisoft.
Yep.
And of course, which I love doing actually.
Of course,
Last Guardian was re-revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Bird dog.
I'm excited.
June 23rd. You're missing a big announcement from
Street Fighter. Which one?
Street Fighter V.
That was at PSX last year.
But that was the first time it was. Okay, you're right. It wasn't an announcement. It was the first time it was playable. I guess I don't know. I mean, it matters to me. Damn it.
I'm not nothing against Street Fighter. I didn't think it was a big announcement.
Scoop. Damn it.
Street Fighter 6.
June 23rd. Batman Arkham Knight was released, and that's kind of an interesting story. That used to be like the series that could do no wrong, like a fan favorite series with gamers.
Yeah.
And I thought that game was really good, but people don't seem to be super stoked about it anymore.
People in the office liked it. Yeah. Our peers liked it. Dan liked it a lot, and Brendan liked it a lot. They played it the most for the guy in the review, but
people didn't like the.
It was a weird time. Which
I loved. It was so weird to me, and still weird to me. It's like I very much fell in line with Dan on this, which is where I was like, does it like. You know, necessarily fall directly in line with what I expect from like Batman as a character. No, it doesn't. But I absolutely found that combat fun, and I know a lot of people feel like it was forced on them. But I after playing like you know the majority of the game, I've played like maybe 80% of the way through the game. I never felt like I was forced to. I kind of chose when I wanted to traverse with the Batmobile, and chose when I wanted to traverse on my foot.
That's good.
Sure, there are certain parts where you have to use them. You do have to use the Batmobile, but I mean, like every game has a part where you have to use Tool X to get, you know, to get further. So it really, I never felt the way some people felt about the Batmobile.
I liked Arkham Asylum because it's like the beginning of Metroid. You start so limited, and you get all your favorite Bat tools when you get some dropped off, and how you discover them and stuff. You start, and you can't just do that in every game. So I understand that. But man, you're like you have a tank in this game.
Yeah.
You're like super powerful, and like everybody's not in the city. Like it just feels like a weird artifice for Batman for me.
Yeah. It feels
I like the detective side of Batman.
Sure, and it also feels like a perfect example of like a developer, and I'm really hoping that for Rocksteady, this is like their time to move forward because, you know, to me, they remind me of kind of like what Guerrilla seemed like with the Killzone franchise, where by the end, with the last Killzone game that launched with the PS4.
What is it called? Shadow Zone? Shadowfall?
Yeah, Shadowfall. So it's like, you can tell a developer is ready to move on. They want to try new things. Mm-hmm. They're already doing new concepts. They're just trying to find a way to pigeonhole it into the existing framework of this franchise they've been forced to work. Yeah. Not forced to work on, but so I it seems to me, and you know, then they went on to do Horizon, you know, and the Horizon looks like something totally...
It's a very different game.
Very different direction artistically.
And that's the robot dinosaur game?
Yes, and that's what I hope is in store for Rocksteady, is that like, I saw signs of it everywhere in Arkham Knight, that they were just ready to move on and try wilder things that without the constraint of Batman.
Yeah. Batman was interesting. So much about it is excellent. I mean, almost everything about it's excellent. Mm-hmm. You know, still probably the best hand-to-hand combat system devised in a video game. Shadow of Mordor is maybe up there too, but I mean, it's just copying Batman in a lot of ways. Yep. So the story writing was really excellent.
Super beautiful.
Yeah, the degree of technical excellence is almost off the charts. So it's like it does all these things so well. But I'm sort of in the same boat as Sam, where my favorite part of Arkham Knight, they abandoned any sort of pretense of stealth. Maybe not any pretense, because there's still some predator rooms and stuff, but they used to strike a balance between like Batman going in loud and Batman going in stealthy, and they didn't really have the balance
in that
spot.
Well, there's enemies in this that just see you when you're stealthy. Mm. There's like these people that see you using detective vision, and it's like it breaks that.
I don't know. I really like the predator challenge rooms, and they really seem to be leaning, like that needle just tilted much more towards combat in a way that I wasn't as happy with personally. I liked really terrorizing people as Batman and just dangling them and making like having their fear levels go off the charts. Yeah. So it's great.
On July 12th, we learned that Nintendo president Satoru Iwata passed away. Definitely the saddest news in the world of video games this year.
Yeah, and it slowed down the kind of stream of stuff that we usually expect from Nintendo. I mean, maybe in releases, which I doubt, but in information, because they didn't do a Nintendo Direct until last month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, those were so regular. We saw him doing them, and just them kind of figuring out how they were going to deliver messages seemed to take a long time, and we haven't heard about a lot of games in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, a special man.
A moment of silence that lasted a long time.
Yeah. Reggie gave, I don't know what you want to call it, a little in memoriam speech of Iwata at the Game Awards, and he put it so perfectly where Iwata, and I'm paraphrasing here, but Iwata had this combination of, like, really strong business sense, really strong hardware, like, engineering sense, and really strong, like, a software development background.
Yeah.
And to get all three of those, like, that is the perfect president for a video game.
Yeah, unbelievable,
like,
huh?
You couldn't ask for more than that. Mm-hmm. Just a massive loss.
On July 28th, Mafia 3 was announced, and then we would get a bigger reveal at Gamescom the following month. It's a game that's coming next year that people don't...
People are kind of sleeping on that and Gears. I guess they're just kind of waiting to spin up the sort of hype machine.
Sure. You mentioned Rare Replay. That was released on August 4th. It's one of the coolest, you know, retro game packages I think ever released.
I love the rewind button on the NES games and that.
It's so great.
Really clever.
Rare Replay is great. I played through, like I said, I played through all of Banjo-Kazooie, 100% of that. Played through all of Perfect Dark. Relived a lot of Blast Corps. Those N64 games. Man, Jet Force Gemini did not hold up.
Yeah, that's what I was really sad to hear. That was when I heard about Rare Replay, the first game on my list was Jet Force Gemini, and I was very sad to hear that.
I have such great memories of it, though. It's not going to hurt those.
Well, what's interesting, though, is I guess I just listed off Banjo and Perfect Dark, and those are the games that got the 360 ports.
Yeah,
right. So they were already in widescreen, you know, and so maybe that's why I'm sort of had a more positive experience with those and the games that were literally just... And then 64 again sort of plopped onto it.
I played Conker for a half an hour, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't. Well, you can't. It's inverted look, and there's no option to change it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's
right. Yeah.
You're both maniacs. It doesn't make any sense.
It does make sense.
But like, to not have an options menu.
Okay. To not have an option does not make sense.
No. Push up to look up.
You push up. To point
it doesn't
down.
Make any sense. Up
this
is up. Down is not
point up.
Up.
Makes perfect sense.
No, if I were handling a camera, right, which is what you're ostensibly doing.
No, it's not.
Okay. Yes, yeah. you would.
No, I'm playing a video game.
Yep.
You know,
I want to look up.
But you're controlling the camera.
Yep.
That doesn't make any. But like, do
but
you
would move the camera up when you wanted to point up. Is that what you're saying?
No, you have to pull down. Right.
And then, this is the analog.
I understand what flying yoke controls. Okay? that's how that works. But yeah, with first person, I that would throw me off.
All right. August 21st, Hitman Agent 47 came into theaters and ended the video game movie curse. No, it didn't.
I was just going to say.
It was really bad. It was really bad. On August 25th, another surprise hit was released. You want to know this one? Also a PlayStation exclusive.
What was the date?
August 25th, Until Dawn.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. And I did not expect this game to be good at all.
People like this game, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, no, I do. Like,
and good reviews, both like critically and...
You watched our live streams of it. I felt like I didn't need to play much of it after that.
No, it's like, it's funny because when I demoed it at the first PSX. And when I played it, I was like, this game is going to fall flat on its face. I was like, and it also, it's worth noting that they, at that demo, they forced us to use the Move controller to kind of choose where, you know, what we wanted to do and make all those choices, which was just like a weird, because all it is left or right. I'm like, I don't need a wavy thing to do left or right. I can do that with a directional pad or analog stick.
Can you?
I think I can. I think I can handle it.
Because I just heard some evidence to the contrary.
That's left and right, not up and down, okay? No, but I was totally surprised.
On a camera, you pull right. To look
You're insane.
No, but what was amazing to me is that once we got to Halloween time and I was in like horror movie mode, I was like, I want to watch an interactive horror movie with my girlfriend and make all the choices that get people killed or don't.
That's great.
And that's what Until Dawn is.
It just dawned on me. If you rewind GameCube, if you rewind this GameCube 60 seconds and look at my face, you'll pinpoint the exact moment that I just realized I've had a copy of Until Dawn from GameFly for like 3 months. And it's unopened, just sitting. Like, I've been paying for GameFly because I did the. Oh boy. It makes me so mad. They got me. All right. So
this is how they get you.
This is what happened. So, I've been playing this Star Wars Card Trader app.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
And you get credits to open packs of cards, and you can buy credits or you can sign up for special offers. And if you sign up for GameFly, you get like 700,000 credits. And I said, I'm no dummy. I'll just cancel it. I'll sign up for GameFly and I'll just cancel it. I'll rake in all these credits and cancel it before they charge me.
I gotcha.
And now that was literally like 3 months ago. And I think those credits and that copy of Until Dawn that is unopened is costing me like $30.
Yeah.
Crap.
They hit you with the okie doke.
That's how they get you.
Yeah.
There was another horror game that was underwater right after that called, was that take place at the bottom of the ocean?
This year?
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, Soma.
Soma.
Ah. Soma.
And they came out right at the same time, and both those, I was like, oh, if I had more time not playing The Witcher and Metal Gear right now, I would totally be preparing for Halloween with these two games.
Speaking of Metal Gear, September 1st, Metal Gear Solid 5 and Mad Max were released.
Yeah, that's right. Unfortunate for Mad Max.
Yeah. But I think people like that game attention. Too. Yeah.
It's like, that's like Tomb Raider and Fallout 4. Like, just get out of there.
Just get out of the way.
Yeah.
Run for cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even like 1 week, like do something.
That same month, Mario Maker.
Wait, we're not going to talk about Metal Gear?
We talk about it all the time. Yeah, we do. Game Scoop.
Okay. Probably my favorite game of the year. I love it.
It is definitely my favorite game.
Vince gave
it
a 10. I don't care about that series either, and I love that game.
Yeah. They were able to take a series that has a very dedicated like cult following that's known for being very convoluted and like satisfy that audience, but also welcome in new players like
so
that.
So cool.
That sort of satisfy that audience.
Yeah, and for me, and that was my whole thing about it. And like, I took some fire for giving it a 10 because, you know, understandably, some people think that means it's perfect. And I criticized it for its, you know, the way it handled its story versus some of the other games in the series. But for me,
that's not what I played it for.
Yeah, that's not for me. I was like, I would much rather the game be player driven and be about the player's experience. And in terms of the player experience and emergent player driven moments, like no action game has ever achieved what Metal Gear did.
And like I said, Mario Maker also released that month. That's a very, very impressive.
I thought that game would have a longer interest time for me. I feel like I'm missing out by not going back and playing it because I just saw a level in which Mario turns into a Mercedes-Benz collects Mercedes logos.
No, I mean, as I've been saying from the start, I feel like Mario Maker is a game that's more fun to watch than it is to play.
I would
much rather just, you know, dip my head in once a week. I don't know if there is a YouTube channel or if maybe IGN should be doing this, but just like, here are the coolest Mario Maker things we found this week, and that's the way that I want to consume that game. I don't want to wade through, you know, a dozen mediocre
levels. I do like playing those. I don't want to make them, it turns out. But, man, I had so much fun we did a series where we all paired up with somebody here and made a level for that person, like, specifically.
Yeah.
And that was so fun. And, like, if I was in any other situation, like I can't make a game for my cat or my wife right now. They're not going to play it. But if I was living with like roommates or something, like that would be the best thing.
Oh, sure.
You know? And I just think that's the greatest, because it was about being in the room too. I want to emphasize that. Like, it was like a couch experience that I loved, because you could pause it and laugh and add stuff and do. It was like that Nintendo couch experience that they always got to make every year, you know. And the Mario Kart 8 was that last year. So.
Mm-hmm. You got something to say?
No.
All right. We're getting caught up. September 18th, Sony renamed Project Morpheus to PlayStation VR.
Yep.
Which makes sense. People understand that.
Sure. It's more marketable, but like, again, with all, this is always how it happens, right? Someone has a cool code name, like Katana or Durango.
Katana was the coolest code name for a console. You know?
What was that for?
Dreamcast. That was the Dreamcast, yeah. Yeah.
Dolphin.
Dolphin, I don't think is that's quite as cool.
Revolution.
Yeah. Revolution.
3DS. Although we still don't have a price or release date for VR, they did say it will be priced.
Project Reality.
As a new gaming platform.
I mean, so yeah. It's code for many hundreds of dollars.
Yeah,
so.
that's code for
hundreds of dollars.
If it's less than $400, I will be shocked.
Yeah. On Black Friday this year, you could buy a 55-inch TV for like $400. Anywhere.
Yeah. Anywhere. Yeah.
So hopefully it has to be as good as that.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely, having played around with it at PSX this past week, it is definitely more impressive than a $400 LCD TV.
Good.
Yeah.
That's great. Yes. Yeah.
On September 29th, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 was released.
Womp womp.
Yeah, the first of a few like franchises that Activision was trying to bring back this year, because also this was in Activision, of course, but on October 6th, Rock Band 4 was released. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that made much of a splash either.
At least it was good.
Yeah.
Do you remember how Tony Hawk 5 was leaked by a caterer?
No.
Yes. Yeah, I do
from
remember
a picture
that.
Yeah, like tables. There was like tables set up in a screen. And
there was some, I don't know if it was like some, I actually don't know what the event was, like some Activision, a corporate event that had a Tony Hawk 5 like thing, logo on the screen. And this caterer is like, catering for Tony Hawk tonight, and like put that on his Instagram, like not knowing that game was like months away from being announced.
But we know Activision elaborately set that up.
Possibly.
Or that guy's currently not working anymore.
Well, yeah, well, he's not catering for Tony Hawk.
Probably nobody
anymore.
Told him not to take pictures.
Yeah. Remember they changed the art style like a month before the game was released? We gave it a 3.5. Tony Hawk.
Sad.
Yes, yeah. Yet you fall through the environment and get stuck and all the time in Fallout, but...
Yeah.
It matters a lot. It matters a lot more in Tony Hawk.
It happens a lot more frequently.
Yeah, then Rock Band 4 was released. That same day, Far Cry Primal was announced. That's the next Far Cry, which we'll be playing next year.
A full $60 game instead of a Blood Dragon-style
$15, $20
thing. I mean, that's fine. I'm not making a value judgment. I'm just saying, like, it's interesting.
But they'll probably have, like, a baby mammoth escort mission. It'll be fine.
On October 20th, Guitar Hero Live was released.
Right.
I think that's considered the better game of the two new music games that were released, but I also don't think it made much of a splash.
No, I guess it depends on who you ask, but I feel like a lot of people found the format of Guitar Hero Live kind of... a little bit alienating, especially like its approach to
streaming. You don't like it when the crowd holds up a sign and says, "You suck."
No, not that. The renting, you can't buy a song, you can only rent
them. Yeah. Exactly.
But you can play the live set anytime. Like, just turn it on.
Whatever's on, it's like a TV channel.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's kind of neat. That reminds me of 1 vs. 100.
I liked 1 vs. 100.
Oh my God, that's right. Yeah.
Microsoft needs to figure that out.
It totally feels like Guitar Hero Live should have been free to play.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that I think it's a...
But they had to get the controller, the instruments in people's hands.
It's a good example of a game that it's trying to change its business model for like the 21st century, for whatever that means, you know, and kind of stick with the times, but it doesn't have a price tag that reflects that.
Right.
It doesn't seem like music games are back.
No,
even though both
those
franchises came back this year, I don't think music games are back.
We'll have to wait for Amplitude for that.
And Amplitude is going to be dope, but let's be honest, it's not going to save music games.
Or
I kickstarted it.
But it'll make me happy.
Four harmonics.
October 23rd, Assassin's Creed Syndicate was released. Fans of that series seem to be happy with that.
Fans of the Assassin's Creed genre. I mean,
it
played it. It was much better than Unity. Like many games this year, I got bored before I got to the end of it.
October 27th, Halo 5. Was released. People really like multiplayer, not so much the campaign.
See, that's like the meme, or not? Like, that's what campaign sucked, multiplayer awesome. But I still really like the campaign.
Yeah, like, and I think
I would say I mean I would need to think about where I would rank the Halo campaigns, but I would put it in the middle probably.
Sure, I mean I think to say that it sucked was definitely kind of like a little bit of a, you know, an overstatement for sure. I think what some people really felt is that compared to what they expect and hope for from Bungie.
Yeah, there's definitely
from the franchise.
You fight the Warden too often. That's a very overused, like, what you repeat that boss fight too often. They didn't take full use, like the co-op wasn't as impressive or as implemented as impressively as it could have been. Like, there's very real sort of concerns around that campaign, but it's totally fun, totally solid. Like, it just, like, the Halo mechanics have never really felt better. I wasn't really that impressed with the sandbox design of the campaign.
Yeah, bad sandboxes.
I would agree with
you
that.
You don't play as Master Chief that often. Who cares? The series that those character, I want to fight grunts and elites and stuff, but like I know how to now so well.
Sure.
That like just, and I really didn't like the new characters in the last game, so I'm in a weird place now. I don't like the new stuff they're doing, and I'm bored of the old stuff.
Oh, man, I thought the Prometheans were so improved over 4, really fun to fight. I thought the big thing that impressed me about Halo 5.
I just don't like them because you can't. They're robots, and I can't tell that I'm hurting them, and I don't
they have,
like.
They have cool weak spots like in their shoulders and stuff. I don't know. Like, here's the thing that I like most about Halo 5 is I thought every single gun with like every single one was fun to use and useful. Like I never felt like, oh crap, I'm stuck with this crappy thing. Like even the pistols can be lethal.
Like, but that meant that there's like a puzzle element that's missing, and I feel like there's always a good arsenal available to me. Whereas like before, I'd be like, I would actually have to search a level to figure out the legendary version of that.
Sure, like, try to find the hidden sniper rifle or whatever.
Yeah, or like figure out like how to use these two weapons in combination that I'd never thought of before.
Or just realize you should always have a plasma pistol on you at all times.
So good in legendary usually, yep. But this game actually added a lot of other weapons that were.
That same day, No Man's Sky was given a June 2016 release window. Mm-hmm. Finally narrowed that down.
It's going to be
if Mass Effect just has No Man's Sky in it, it'll be great.
Yeah.
Oh, think it's a PSVR launch game?
That would be very, very, very exciting.
Does that game need to be VR?
Oh, I wouldn't say it needs to be.
The space battles part would be cool, or the space flight would be cool.
I mean, the big, to me,
it's always my favorite part about VR, but being on a planet and stuff.
To me, the big strength of PlayStation VR and VR in general, from the demos that I've played, it's always the ways in which VR can add an extra like kind of vector of control or
The look around.
Yeah, to traditional situations. So like, would I want to play that game as a VR only experience? Probably not. Would I want to be able to pilot my ship with my controller and look around freely and check my six? Like in a world as beautiful and immersive as that, 100%.
Yeah, that's my favorite experience in VR is getting in a cockpit and being able to look up, you know, at things around me while I'm starfighting. It's really fun.
That's cool. Oh, I was gonna say, I play the demo of Drive Club. They have a prototype of Drive Club with the VR, and like I'm not like a huge fan of Drive Club, although I do like racing games. But what was amazing, and I never thought about this while playing a racing game before, is that like I'm driving. You know, they had a wheel, and I normally never drive from the cockpit view because I feel like my situational awareness is just terrible. But if I was wondering how deep or how sharp the turn I'm turning into was, I'm like, I just look. I'm literally turning and looking this the whole time.
Just like real driving.
Just like I would in real driving. I'm looking where I want to go, and that's like directly informing my muscle memory of
VR game where you drive to work and then just work.
Oh, yeah.
That's how fun driving games are for me.
They also announced Work Simulator at PSX, so there you go.
That's true. Getting into November, November 6th saw the yearly mandatory release of Call of Duty. This one was Black Ops 3.
Mandatory. Mandated by the government.
Mandatory release.
Yep.
November 10th, Fallout 4 and Rise of the Tomb Raider, both the same day.
Mm-hmm. Two very different games.
Both great games.
Both great games, and for very different audiences. I feel it's interesting.
I mean, I like them both.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not saying it's impossible to enjoy both of them. Certainly you can. I think what's interesting about them is that there's one group of people who's like, I absolutely want a more directed, focused experience that's always constantly interesting and fun and engaging, regardless of like whether or not I'm doing what the most fun thing is. And that's like, you know, that's Tomb Raider. Then there's another group of people who are just like, leave me the hell alone and let me just go out there and do whatever the heck I want. And
the Tomb Raider added more of that for this game, right?
There's a little bit more openness.
It's kind of hard. I mean, it's hard to almost express how good, like how improved, like Tomb Raider 2013 was so good. Yeah. And like now the new one, like it's really even better. And it's very, like my greatest disappointments of the year is that Fallout and Tomb Raider being an Xbox One exclusive made so many people kind of sleep on that game or miss it. And that's really unfortunate because it's a truly excellent superlative video game experience.
And a lot of people here in this office have, you know,
I mean, a lot of people like it. Yeah,
a lot of love for it.
You know, it takes those survival aspects of Tomb Raider and really amps them up in a way that's not sort of annoying or like I didn't actually really like the crafting in something like The Last of Us. I thought it felt sort of bolted on, and in Tomb Raider, it feels more like it's an actual just feels like it was intended with that from the ground up. I don't know. I don't have enough good things to say about that. It's really, for me, Game of the Year is probably between that and Witcher right
now. And I was just going to say, like, anecdotally, this is, of course, like, you know, our nominees aren't up until Monday.
Right.
But I would say anecdotally, if I was to gauge it, like, it's a very, just based on chatter around the office, I feel like it's a very credible threat for Game of the Year.
It's in the hunt.
Yep, definitely.
November 12th, Cloud was announced for Smash Brothers.
Despite never having been in a single Nintendo platform ever.
Why that bother? Who? So what?
Oh, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that's an interesting thing to me. It's like of all the Final Fantasy characters that I would have thought would have ended up on this in a Smash
game. You mean
game.
like White Mage?
No, I would have even I would have thought it would have been someone like you know like Cecil or Kane. You know, or Tella, or Golbez, or...
Tella would have been hilarious.
Yeah, Tella would have been great.
What are the twins?
The Porm and Palm. Yep. Yeah, like of all the characters, it would have been...
Umago?
Umago, right. Ninja.
The interesting thing about Cloud is he's not the character that won the ballot, that won the Smash ballot. They explicitly said that, so that means there's at least one more new character coming as well. Announcement coming.
Yeah, we have that direct coming next week, I think.
Yeah, Monday?
Sometime next week. Yeah.
Terra, Nash, oh my god, I keep going.
Setzer.
Setzer would be godlike.
Sid?
We're never going to see any of them again.
We're almost caught up.
Rydia's my favorite. Rydia's
to
my
today.
Favorite.
November 17th, Battlefront. Star Wars Battlefront is out.
That's the other game that
played that for 3 days.
Like something that I never ever thought about until I was actually an EA representative said it in an interview is that Battlefront's rated T. And they're like, if you are, you know, a younger gamer that wants to play a shooter that, you know, you can argue about how good or bad Battlefront is, but there's no denying that it's competent, right? Like it's a good game.
Sure.
Like there aren't that many options for you, and
Splatoon. T-rated shooters.
Yeah, and I just thought that was such a great point. I'm like, yeah, that's true. Like that's a little bit friendlier, safer space to have, you know, competent team-based FPS mechanics.
Yeah.
That's important. Mm-hmm.
December 1st saw Just Cause 3 and Rainbow Six Siege. Mm-hmm. Both released.
Yes.
Still get wrapping my head around those games. Damon and I watched a video on IGN the other day of a little puppy crossing the street in Just Cause. And
it unlocks
so
Doge mode in Just Cause.
Yeah, awesome. Then it unlocks Doge mode, which is things like very riddled, such murder. It just pops up while you can
see really good.
But that little puppy is so funny.
Yeah, puppy's really cute.
I played Just Cause 3 for one evening and didn't get into it at all.
Yeah, I really liked 2, but... apparently on the console, it's really rough.
Well, that's so you haven't tried yet?
No.
Okay, because of the console.
Maybe I want to wait. Maybe they'll patch it.
Yeah.
I played on PS4, and I haven't experienced any of the extreme, you know, just... they exist, they're real. Like, people have YouTube videos of them. I haven't experienced that. But even the non-extreme issues, even just the normal loading times, just a little bit too long. It's unfortunate.
And even that removed, like, for me, I was like... I did a live stream of it with Mark, and... I remember he was the one playing it because he was, you know, capturing a lot of our early gameplay footage of it and stuff. So he was kind of like taking me through, and I sat there for 2 hours watching him play, and I'm like, this was, and for me, I was like, it's not downing the game or saying there's no way to enjoy it, but for me, I was like, just watching someone go around the world for a little bit and maybe picking it up for 15 minutes myself and just traversing, that's about all the experience I like, felt like I needed or wanted out of it. Just mess around. Like, you have the squirrel suit and the grappling hook and the parachute. It's fun to get around the world, but like outside of that, I was like, I'm good.
It's very much like a palate cleanser after a lot of the games you played
absolutely.
In the fourth quarter.
That's a good point.
Just to run around and just be dumb, like just dumb fun.
Yeah.
The problem for me was like the chaos of like, you know, being in the squirrel suit and blowing something up and parachuting away and like all that stuff's really awesome, but the actual core shooting is not very interesting.
It's not great.
And so that is kind of problematic, and I guess maybe just don't do it. Just use rockets and other explosives instead. But I was surprised, like for a game that's all about, you know, that's a core sort of pillar of it. I'm surprised the shooting itself didn't feel better.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, even backing up a little bit, like, that's kind of like you said, Battlefront, totally competent. I'm not saying it's a bad game, but like the shooting model in that was definitely meant to be a little bit more accessible. And, you know, like something like not having too much bullet fall off or bullet scatter, you know, recoil. No real recoil, except on a very minor amount on a couple of weapons. It just made, you know, that level of abstraction just makes it feel like I'm not shooting something anymore. It just feels like I'm pointing a cursor. And that's just not, I want to feel like I'm shooting a blaster, you know, not just saying, hey, you, that thing I'm pointing at, go die. Like, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing like the feel of a good blaster at your side.
That's, I would say it's a clumsy and uncivilized weapon. Mm.
On December 3rd, Telltale revealed yet another licensed property. It's turning into a game. Telltale's Batman game.
It'll be great.
It was a big surprise.
I hope this is an opportunity for them to actually reintroduce puzzles into their games into a major way. It won't be.
Sure.
Because
you talk about, you know, his detective.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, there's
it seems like a perfect opportunity.
Yeah. There's a real chance for here. That's why Walking Dead Season 1 remains one of, if not my favorite, Telltale project. Because especially in the early episodes of Season 1, they really struck a balance between storytelling and puzzle gameplay. There were real puzzles you had to solve. And they don't bother really doing that at all anymore. They're just interactive storytellers. Which is fine, but that's just not what I want. I want to see them become, you know, sort of proper adventure game makers again.
Sure, please.
Well, I was just going to say Game of Thrones. I played that series and I liked it more than most people in the office. But it, you know, it left on this huge cliffhanger, and there's going to be another big season of that stuff. And I feel like I might only be able to handle one Telltale game in a year at this point.
Yeah,
it slows me down.
They have so much. They released Minecraft Story Mode this year.
Yeah, three episodes of it with potentially more to come before the end of the calendar year.
Yeah, and it's like just building off what you said, Justin, they have started to become to feel like very passive experiences compared to what The Walking Dead was. Like when I played The Wolf Among Us, it's beautiful, like visually just gorgeous. I love the art style. I love the Fables universe. I love the story that they're telling, the voice acting, the writing. Like the craft is totally there. But I, like you said, I felt like it was more like a choose-your-own-adventure kind of storybook, which is fine. They do it very well, and it's very well presented.
But that means the content has to be really good because the gameplay stuff is really missing.
Exactly.
So it's like, do I marathon Jessica Jones?
Right.
Or do I play 12 hours of a Telltale game?
Right, sure.
And that's what they're up against for my time now because they're not filling the Fallout exploration like wonderful like open world gap for me, which is what I like in video games. It has to be really good entertainment.
Mm. It has been nice.
Passive entertainment. Right.
Work's been so busy and hectic this time of year. It always is that I'm very tired. I'm very tired when my day is finally done. And like Telltale's kind of perfect for that. Like I don't really feel like watching an episode of The Flash, but I can't muster the energy to like play Just Cause, and like Telltale's right in the middle. You know, it's like Tales from the Borderlands is perfect for like...
Yeah, that's another one they've been releasing this year.
Anytime you need to unwind, it's great for that.
Finally, December 5th, PS2 emulation began rolling out to PS4, allowing you to buy your old games again.
But you don't need to buy those games anymore because Damon's giving them away.
Well, I am giving away some of the old PS2 games and GameCube and Xbox era games in Damie's classic game collection giveaway of holidays 2015.
Have you gotten any good responses?
Yeah, I got lots of good ones. Millions and millions of responses. I'm reading each one. I will be picking a winner next week, so stay tuned for that.
The PS2 emulation, insane that you can't use your discs. I mean, I get it, right?
Yeah.
But then the prices are crazy.
$15.
$15.
That's not backwards compatibility.
Yeah, it's not.
That's just backwards.
that's literally not what backwards compatibility means.
No, it's just a store.
Yeah.
It's just a store to let you buy older games.
Sure. I'm totally into game preservation, and games should be preserved.
Yep.
On those games.
It's one of the rare, and I don't want to get into console stuff. I own all the consoles. But generally speaking, I would say the PS4 has trumped the Xbox One in most ways, hardware ways. And this is one area where Microsoft absolutely has Sony's number, at least for now.
Yep.
Like, their backwards compatibility solution is so much better and thorough and user-friendly and just consumer-friendly than PlayStation Now and now PS2 on PS4.
Yeah, because PlayStation Now was supposed to be originally kind of their solution to backwards compatibility. They were going to do streaming, you know, kind of like streaming old classic games.
Yep.
And then, like, the price for PlayStation Now was kind of preposterous when it first launched. And they announced a temporarily reduced 1 year subscription price, which is like a 50% savings on what their original ridiculous price was. But it's still a lot of money. And to not have, like... and then to launch kind of a backwards compatibility or like a backwards, you know, selling classic games on PS4, it's like that's kind of like an overlap where it was supposed to be a one-stop solution for all of that, and now it's like, well, we're gonna let you rent some of them with this service, but we're gonna make you buy some of them with this one. And
this is why competition is good. I'm a big proponent of the one console future, but then sometimes, you know, stuff like this happens. Yeah, I'm like, well, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I love so hard that I turned on my Xbox one day and there's a bunch of old 360 games there just ready to install. It's great.
Awesome. So is that bring us up to the present?
That's it.
Okay, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Are we going to play 20 questions today?
Oh yeah, right now.
Okay. It's happening.
Does that count as one of them?
Yes. No, that doesn't count as a question. Yes, before we go, let's do play video game 20 questions. The suggestion this week comes from Aaron.
Don't screw us, Aaron.
Everyone knows how this works. You guys have 20 yes or no questions to guess Aaron's mystery game.
We really have 19 because the first question is the honorary Justin Davis question, because he's always sitting in that spot, so he's always the one who gets to ask it.
Did this game come out before January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So Vince, now you do what you want to do. So, I don't want to like backseat question you.
We strategize this so much that it's good to have a wild card in here.
I don't know if it's changed since last time I did it, but like next we started narrowing down like what companies' platforms this was on is usually the direction we went next.
Sure. What we've done lately
are you asking that as your question?
No, I'm not. I'm confirming with my partner.
Is before or after 1990.
Normally they ask.
Was that?
Before or after 1990.
Yes. Oh, so you've been narrowing down the time a little bit further. Okay. Mm-hmm. So,
Did it come out before 1990?
Is that your question?
Yes.
There you go. Yes.
I think Sam has a meeting he's got to run to.
Okay. So it came out before 1990. Okay. Was this at any point exclusive to a Nintendo platform?
No.
Okay.
Did it come out before 1980?
Yes.
Oh, snap. Man, I know so much more about this from History of Awesome.
Before 1980, so this is wow. Okay.
In this game, I'm just gonna throw one away. In this game, do you shoot Space Invaders?
No.
Oh, God,
that's oddly specific.
Well,
is this a one screen game?
Yes.
Okay, that narrows it down
Pac-Man.
A lot.
That came out in 1980.
79.
It was 80. Okay. Was this an arcade game?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so what were the early arcade games?
There's a million. They're mainly racing and sports.
Yeah, but I mean the ones
racing,
that
sports, and space.
Man, Pac-Man was really 80.
Could be asteroids.
Yeah. So okay. So is this game take place in space? Are you a spaceship? Are you a ship?
No.
That's good. That's good.
Was Centipede was a little bit later? Was it or was it? That might have been 79.
Centipede was 1980.
Are you a humanoid?
No.
And you're not a ship, and you're not a humanoid.
Yeah, so it has to be a sports game.
Or a driving game. You could be a robot of some kind.
Oh, is it
couldn't
Pong?
It could be robot.
Yeah, it could still be Pong. Okay, it's not so robot.
Is this game multiplayer?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Pong. Is it a sports game?
Yes.
Do I have it in
that's
my living room?
That's how it's categorized.
does the game name begin with a P?
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
Let's keep going. Was there a version of this that involved the doghouse and a puppy?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Did they remake it for PS1 insanely?
Because there was a game called Puppy Pong that's always in the... Yeah. Yeah, it's for doctor's offices.
No one has actually guessed the...
No, we're not sure yet.
You're just going to let it go?
We're not sure.
Because what if it's Breakout?
But he said begin with a P. Begin with a P.
It's two-player, though.
Two-player, begin with a P. I'm going to go with...
Breakout?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Pong.
It is Pong.
Yeah, we did it.
1972, originally arcades, then was released on multiple home platforms.
Manufactured by Syzygy.
That's developed actually just by Atari. Yeah, yep. Considered a sports game.
Sports game?
Yeah.
They were all sports games. There's like 10 versions of Pong on like each cartridge that first came out. You know?
Yeah, they're like, comes with 12 games. And you're like, nah,
they're all Pong.
Tennis is just,
it's
all the same thing.
That is all the scoops we have for you this week. Next week will be our final game scoop of 2015. And I will be giving away Damie's classic game collection. So make sure to tune in for that. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Vince. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop. Never.
I said I would run away as far as I could go. Teach the dogs to pull a sleigh through the white and drifting snow. You brought home a magic box. in time for Christmas Day. I chased stars and busted blocks till the feeling went away. Needles in the carpet, ice behind your eyes. On my best behavior till Santa Claus arrives. In another castle, trying to survive the storm that took us all in 1985. You walked out into the wind to warm up Grandma's car, but you never came back in, lost beyond the fog of war. Scrolls unfold in front of me, and I am in control. Wires from the old TV through my hands and to my soul. Needles in the vacuum, ice behind your eyes. On my best behavior till Santa Claus arrives. In another castle, trying to survive the storm that took us all in 1985.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.